John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network, and I'm joined by the ambassador from the Republic of Azerbaijan to the United States, Elin Suleymanov, to comment, to update on the circumstances in the South Caucasus since the ceasefire and armistice and negotiations underway between Azerbaijan and Armenia. But there's a larger story here about Russia and Turkey and the rest of the region. Over the contested and troubled land of Nagorno-Karabakh, part of Azerbaijan that spent many decades occupied by Armenian forces. That is no longer largely the fact. The fact is that after the conclusion of the hostilities in late 2020, Azerbaijan is now restoring Nagorno-Karabakh, and I met some of the people who have homes in Nagorno-Karabakh who've been waiting decades to return when I was there in early December. This is by way of an update on the situation of the conversation about settling permanent peace in the region and also about restoring the livelihood and the private residence of the people who were dislodged many decades ago and their inheritors, the children who've only ever heard stories. Mr. Ambassador, a very good evening. First, the peace process. How do we characterize it today, these talks that Russia, Turkey, Azerbaijan, and Armenia are participating in a large conference over the whole region? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and congratulations on moving to the wider audience at CBS Radio. I think that's a great news, and I look forward to hearing and listening to your programs on CBS Radio. Congratulations. John, as you correctly pointed out, Armenia and Azerbaijan continue conversations on resumption of links, communications, and economic relationships. It's not easy. As you understand, this is the first time since the independence of both nations that we actually engage in any diplomatic conversations. So the deputy prime ministers of Azerbaijan and Armenia, also in presence of the deputy prime minister of Russia, talking about unblocking all kinds of roads and all this. And you've seen that. You've seen that everything was closed for three decades as a result of the illegal occupation by Armenia. Not only everything was destroyed and devastated, but also there was no connection between the two countries. However, at the moment, the process is actually quite positively moving forward. For instance, the demarcation of the borders is going without any particular incident. The ceasefire generally holds, with some exceptions, such as an attempt on November 26, which was 2 weeks after the signing of the ceasefire agreement, of intrusion of 62 Armenian armed forces represented on the territory of Azerbaijan. But other than that, the ceasefire generally holds, and there is some progress, and we hope to see more. Of course, the main obstacle and the key obstacle to this remains the presence of landmines. Unfortunately, the territories are heavily mined, the ones especially the liberated areas, and the Armenian side still fails to provide Azerbaijan with the maps of where the minefields are lying. This is a serious problem, of course. As you understand, already dozens of people have been victims of anti-personnel mines. People step on them, people go back. It's very difficult to prevent people from going back to their homes after three decades of longing for to go home. But it's very dangerous at the moment. So I think that remains practically the most urgent issue, because that also prevents a larger economic development in the area, because you do need to clear mines first and then, of course, move in with other projects.
I see that Azerbaijan is holding out help to Armenia, a new report that brought to my attention about energy flowing from Azerbaijan to Armenia. Oil, I can guess, or natural gas. Is that something that can be permanent? Because Armenia is struggling. Its economy is struggling.
That's actually very good news, and it's one of the most tangible results of the ceasefire and agreement on November 10th. So usually what happens is the Russian gas, which goes into Armenia, goes to the Georgian gas distribution network. But I think because it is undergoing repair at the moment, the Georgian network, the Russian gas will enter Armenian territory through Azerbaijan. This is, for the first time, it's unprecedented, and it shows that we could work together. Yes, we could do more. In fact, at some point, we could sell our own gas to Armenia the way we do with Georgia. I mean, those are the steps forward, the real steps, the tangible steps, which change our region for the better. And those are the foundations of lasting peace. I mean, let's not forget, in the post-war Europe, it was energy cooperation which laid the background and the basis and fundamentals of the European Union. The political elements came later. What happened first was economic and energy cooperation. And I hope that our Armenian neighbors will react positively to this opportunity. That's the only chance for Armenia to become an integrated part of the region and a truly sovereign nation. They can do it. We will support it, but, it takes at least two to tango.
The environmental damage, I'm told, was extensive, and I hope to be able to go to Nagorno-Karabakh to see it for myself in the spring or summer of this year, Mr. Ambassador. However, has there progress been made? You mentioned the landmines, about planting trees, about restoring the landscape. Are there plans underway?
Of course, and in the areas which have been secured, you could already see that there's a much greater opportunities for replanting the trees and restoring the environment. Unfortunately, the damage has done is just devastation. If you look at the photos or the videos of the towns destroyed, there's nothing there. Everything has been razed to the ground. In the most obvious way, right after the agreement of November 10th, when the Armenian forces had time to withdraw, unfortunately, there was a lot of tree cutting and burning, and right. this is just very sad. But one of the things you could notice that what Azerbaijanis are doing, right after our forces moved into some areas which were liberated, right after them, there were construction vehicles, there were people who planted trees, the people who put up cell towers for cellular phones, the electricity wires. We're trying to rebuild this area. The roads are being rebuilt. The airport is being built in the area. Just you saw it yourself. On the Azerbaijani side of a former line of contact when we went with you to Tertar and other areas, what you could see was it was green. People were working. The farmers were building things. And on the other side, there was devastation. There was emptiness. No, that's not what we want. I mean, we live in the same region. We breathe the same air. We drink the same water. So I think it would be very good if we would see general development, both for the Azerbaijani side and for the Armenian side. And, you know, the environment is the one we share. It's not exclusive to us.
Finally, just a minute here. Ganja. You know I visited and enjoyed the hospitality of the mayor and the people of Ganja. Have the neighborhoods that were damaged by the missile attacks, how are they being reconstructed now? We have about a minute, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you, John. That was the most tragic part of the war when a Scud missile from the Armenian side hit the residential neighborhood. It's being rebuilt, but most importantly, I have to tell you that the government just provided all the victims and all the families who lived in that devastated area with new apartments and new living quarters. So while the reconstruction is ongoing, people have a place to live, and it's been provided by the government. So we're reconstructing and rebuilding our country.
You know, it was very, very challenging to wander through those destroyed towns and destroyed residences. That's all going to be rebuilt. Is that your understanding?
Yes, it will be.
Ganj is an ancient city. Of course, it's been through troubles before. It always comes back. It's the second largest city in Azerbaijan, and it's a favorite of mine because it was on the front lines, but it has all layers of civilization that have lived in Azerbaijan for thousands of years right there at Ganj. Elin Suleymanov is the ambassador from the Republic of Azerbaijan to the United States of America. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.